Today on Maine Calling, behind the scenes at High School Quiz Show Maine. The Whiz Kids are back. Yep, the eighth season of High School Quiz Show Maine debuted last night on Maine Public Television. Every Thursday evening, from now through May, watch some of the brightest young minds in Maine battle for the top prize. It is a fast-paced and tough competition, with a little silliness thrown in for good measure. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will look behind the curtain and find out what it takes to create the show. How do they come up with all those questions? How hard do the teams train, and how do you train for this competition? And which is harder, creating a TV weather forecast or hosting the show? That's a question for Todd. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling On Demand is made possible in part by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Maine Health, where care teams provide expert, coordinated care focused on your overall wellness to help you be your healthiest self. MaineHealth.org. And by Verrill, committed to delivering trusted legal services in Maine and throughout the Northeast for 163 years. Learn more at verrill-law.com.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Ever wondered what it's like behind the scenes of a game show? Well, we are going to learn all about Maine Public's very own High School Quiz Show, which the eighth season debuted last night on Maine Public Television. Joining me to share the inside story, two of my colleagues, Nick Woodward, who is Maine Public's Director of Media Production Services, and Nick Godfrey, Maine Public's TV Production Coordinator. Also with us, Todd Guttner, who is the host of High School Quiz Show Maine and Chief Meteorologist at News Center Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about High School Quiz Show Maine? Have you ever competed? Do you know someone who has? Share your comments and questions. You can send an email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you. I'm so looking forward to learning about the program from you. And by the way, boy, last night was fun. Nick Woodward, take us back 8 years. How did this happen? How did it come into being? High School Quiz Show.
First of all, I want to say it's awesome. We get billing over Todd.
Oh, over Todd. Wow. We get top billing. That's really cool. That's a change. It was back in 2016 when Charles Beck, who you all know and love, former program director here, just said we should look into doing our own quiz show here in the state of Maine. So he gave it to the local production team to look into. And so we started to design our own show, came up with names, started to do talk about, you know, how the show could go. And then the former CEO, Mark Vogelzang, said, well, you know, WGBH, they do High School Quiz Show. Why don't we call them and see if maybe we could be part, you know, do their show? And that's what happened. So we contacted WGBH, and it just so happened that they had been wanting to franchise that show with the hopes and maybe it could even go nationwide. So we were the first station to approach them to say, hey, can we be part of the show? And they said, yeah. So they made graphics for us that were High School Quiz Show Maine, and we copied their set. They gave us their rundown, all the music, all the sound effects came from them, and we just mimicked their show as a licensee of their show. So High School Quiz Show is owned by GBH, and we are one of the licensees. There's also Rhode Island. They are also part of the family. We built their set too. You're welcome, Rhode Island. And New Hampshire, that, you know, maybe you don't know, but Granite State Challenge has been on New Hampshire PBS for ages. They are kind of part of the family. Before COVID, all of our champions would come together and have a playoff. We haven't done it since COVID, but it was Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine that got together to do it. So our show first premiered in 2017, I think it was.
Started taping in 2017.
Yep. Nick Godfrey, the director, reminds me. Yep, that set was built in my kitchen. again, just because we don't have the resources of the big city.
And was built is the wrong word. You built it.
Well, I did build it with help from the cats in my living room. So I had a game show in my house, game show set. And with the first season, I think we just did 7 episodes, pilot season. But we got great feedback from the schools around the state that loved the idea. So many schools tried out, especially in that first year. And it became an instant hit. So starting in the second year, we expanded to the full 15-episode season, taking 16 teams from across the state who battle it out for the championship and the $1,000 prize.
I need to ask you, how do you choose the 16 teams, Nick Woodward? How do you choose the 16 teams that get to compete?
Well, we first put the call out in the summer and in the early fall to all schools. We think we've got contacts at every secondary school in the state, private, everything. We let them know that you can be part of it, and it's really simple. All they do once they say they want to be part of it is they will take an online test. And it's 50 questions, I think, is the online test. Yep. And the top 16 scoring teams are then invited to come on to the show. And we have schools from stem to stern in the state that have tried out. And from Fort Kent to Elliott, Kittery, I think. Yep. They've all tried out. So the top 16 teams are invited onto the show. And they all make the trek to Lewiston to do the tapings. And they might have to come 3 times to play all the shows if they make it all the way to the final.
All right. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Nick Godfrey. Tell us about the logistics. What does it take to make it happen?
Well, so it is interesting because most of our crew does work out of the Bangor office. So we all travel down to our Lewiston studio, which is a beautiful studio, by the way. And, you know, we coordinate with all of our teams and try to make, you know, obviously we have, you know, school has many different things going on each and every day. So coordinating time with the coaches, with the students, making sure our staff and our crew can be able to be there. And also Todd, you know, our lovely talent here, we got to make sure he's available to be there. So there is a lot of different things going on, especially in October. And so one of the things like this year, we really started even earlier to make sure that we could coordinate, like I said, studio time, recording time, making sure Todd's available on the school. So there's a lot of different pieces at once that are going into this mix. And I think this year, I was very happy about how that all went on. We actually got all of our recordings done in about a month time, which is great.
Yeah. And Nick, let me ask you, you're using the word recording, so it is pre-taped. How many shows do you do per day?
So right now we're usually taping 2 episodes per day. Sometimes it's only one. So we're trying to make it so the students can not hardly have to miss a whole lot. So we're doing it right after school. They'll come into the studios around 2:33, and we'll tape all the way up to about 5:00. Because obviously Todd is also the morning weather host. So we want to make sure that he gets a couple hours of sleep and that so he's not too tired.
Well, Todd, I'm going to turn to you. What's it like to be in the hot seat right there with the bells going off and having the whole stack full of questions? And sort of what does it feel like to be a broadcaster and doing that?
Well, first of all, Jen, it's great to collaborate with you again. We go way back, you know.
We do.
20 years or so ago, we were working together on a weekend with, you know, that was a good time. That was a good time back in the day. I will say it's very stressful from my point of view because this show it's not in my wheelhouse. I mean, I've lived in front of a green screen for 25 years. I've been, you know, doing television weather for 25 years now. And doing things like reading a prompter is something that I've never done before. Doing things like hosting and keeping order. These are things that I've never done before. So very, very stressful. But honestly, the crew is so, so talented and so good. I honestly couldn't do it without them. Delaney, who we'll talk about shortly, she really just... She's my right-hand woman, and she kind of calms me, and we go over the show prior to it. Every single question we read through, because there are a lot of words that I've never heard of. There are a lot of topics that I've never studied. these kids are insanely smart, intelligent, and I am not. So,
oh my gosh. Okay, so so Todd, I'm gonna fill the audience in a little bit. So Todd Guttner, who's a meteorologist, he has a degree in meteorology. You're actually a scientist, Todd. When you prepare the forecast for the morning news or whatever newscast you're doing, you are creating all the graphics. You are figuring out the forecast yourself. As you mentioned, I sat in the same room for you for several years and would listen to you on the phone with the National Weather Service discussing big storms and things like that. So do not say that you're not smart. You're also, when you do the weather, you're doing it on the in front of the green screen backwards. What you're pointing at is the opposite of what you would think. It's not a mirror image. So are you telling me that given everything you have to do as a meteorologist on television, High School Quiz Show is harder?
I think at this point in my career, I would say yes.
Okay.
You know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I'm still kind of a newbie when it comes to hosting and doing High School Quiz Show. It's challenging, but it's so much fun, Jen.
I'll tell you, Todd. You don't look like you're nervous. You look like you're having a great time. So Nick wants to chime in.
Well, yeah, just pointing out, Todd does have his hands full. He's not just asking questions. He is also in charge of the game. And as you watch the show, you see it split-second decisions. And so not only does he have to be a good TV presence, he also has to know all the rules, keep up with what the players are saying, who buzzed in, where's the light. And, of course, in the studio, we have sound effects. There's a lot of lights in the studio. Todd has to be able to see which one went off. And if there's a round where there's a timer, those are tough because we have no room for error when there's a clock on the screen. And so Todd has to be very quick on the draw. Now, we're all in his ear and helping him, but there are times when he just has to do it. So to do all of that at once, it's really difficult. I mean, you know, when we have a practice, I might stand up there and do it just because we need somebody to do it. And it is difficult. And
yeah. I remember the former host, Shannon Moss, told me it was the hardest thing she'd ever done. So that's how I knew to ask the question, Todd. I'm going to go now to Delaney. You mentioned Delaney. Delaney Woodward's on the line. She's associate producer of High School Quiz Show. And yes, she's Nick's daughter. Delaney, thanks so much for calling in.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen.
So, Delaney, I understand that you're the person who helps prepare the questions. How does that work? Where do the questions come from, and how do you prepare them for High School Quiz Show Maine?
Great question. So we are actually sent the questions by some of our friends at GBH, and many of them look quite familiar to the kids who have taken the SAT, including myself. Many of them come from the College Board, so honestly, it's just a really great preparation to see where kids stand by the time the spring comes and tests are coming in. But when I am sent the questions, they come in all at once. And we actually have to go through episode by episode to make sure there are no typos, obviously, to help out Todd along the way, and just checking all of the answers. Because as you can imagine, sometimes some answers come through that we aren't expecting, but they're correct. So there's a lot of research that goes into them. But it's
so,
a lot of organizing.
So tell me about that. Tell me about that. Questions that you think the answer is what you didn't expect. What do you mean by that?
Oftentimes it comes through math, believe it or not. We are given a set of answers to expect, and then there are a set of answers for the extremely knowledgeable math students that come through, whether it's just fractions or factorials. They are often giving answers in a much more formal way than we are expecting. And it's not just math. We've also had questions about, I think back to the District of Columbia, for example, expecting an answer to be Washington, D.C., and someone coming through with Washington, Douglas, Commonwealth. So just having to pause the show and take a second to see if they're right, and they usually are.
They usually are. Oh, my gosh. So, Delaney, do you ever, and Todd, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there ever anything, are there ever any fights? Are there ever any, has anybody ever passed out? I mean, is there anything that we haven't seen on the air that's someday we'll make it to a blooper reel?
Wasn't there someone, was it last year, this past season? I feel like someone either had to go to the bathroom during the middle of the show or was feeling lightheaded. There was some sort of interruption, I feel like. It was in one of these recent seasons.
I think somebody might have had the flu, and so we just had to kind of keep an eye on them, maybe let them sit between rounds and things like that. But in general, there aren't a lot of – there are some bloopers, but not a lot. It's more just little flubs or pronunciations here and there. So
I'll say.
Yeah. I don't have a good blackmail reel of Todd Guttner bloopers. Let's look at that.
Not yet. Go ahead, Todd.
I'll say this. There's a part of every show where we do where I interview the kids and I give them a question, and it's something kind of silly, lighthearted, funny. It gives them an opportunity to be creative. Oftentimes there are moments within that little section of the show that kind of almost go off the rails a little bit. It's kind of an opportunity for them to show personality, for me to show personality. And oftentimes when I show personality, that can get me into trouble. So there are many moments that are kind of funny during that part of the show, the question and the little interview part.
Yeah, I love the dream cereal last night. Delaney, before I let you go, what's your favorite part of working on Quiz Show Maine?
Honestly, I think just being someone who grew up in Maine, went to school in Maine, is familiar with many of these schools, and now I'm here getting to see all of these kids just showing their smarts. There's really not been a great opportunity for kids like them to do that. So it's honestly just been an honor, and working with this crew is amazing. Best crew ever.
Delaney Woodward, thanks so much for calling in and joining the conversation. Delaney is associate producer of High School Quiz Show Maine. We're going to take a quick break. If you have questions about the show, give us a call. 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Our topic today, High School Quiz Show Maine. Maine Public Television's academic competition and what it's like to be part of it. My guest today, the host of High School Quiz Show, Todd Guttner. He's also News Center Maine's chief meteorologist. And Maine Public's talented team of Nicks, Nick Woodward, who is director of media production services, and Nick Godfrey, TV production coordinator. We invite you to join the conversation. Send us an email, a brief email, please, talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Chessie Lomonte. She is a senior at Windham High School and has participated in the High School Quiz Show for the past 4 years. Wow, Chessie, that's impressive. What made you decide to be a part of a High School Quiz Show team?
So, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good. So I joined Quiz Show. We call it the quiz team at my school because my friend, she was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I was a little freshman and she was a sophomore. And she's like, hey, I'm doing this thing. You need to come to practice today. And I went to the practice and it's very uncommon in the group to like, because we have a huge group, not all of us compete on Quiz Show, like to buzz in like your first game and like get questions. And I buzzed in on like the first or second question and I got it right. Because it was like what we had just talked about in my biology class that morning. And Mr. Ziegler, our coach, he was like, hey, you're in this and you're staying. And so I'm here 4 years later and I love it and it's so much fun.
So, Chessie, at your high school, you have buzzers and you like play? Is that what you're doing?
Well, so we used to have these little like egg things and we used to have like two buzzers and we used to fight each other. But now we use an online software and we buzz in and we like do it through our phones and so it's like more technologically advanced. But yeah, we just practice.
Oh, that's so great. Now, I need to ask you about the questions. How do you prepare for the questions? There's such a variety of categories. Do you have an idea what the categories are going to be or not really? Do you just try to be a good student and know as much as you can?
Well, when we go into Quiz Show, anything is on the table that you could be asked a question about. You could be asked a question about from everything from biology to one of the questions that we've gotten. I don't remember if it was in a practice or in competition, but the answer was like some random pop culture thing. And it's just so fun. So everything is on the table. So how we usually prepare is we make sure that we are having as wide a variety of people on our team as possible, while also making sure that we have as wide a variety of people on our team who also do other things. Like a bunch of the kids on our team, they all do all these different activities and they learn all these different things. And we make sure we have like a diverse knowledge set on our team.
Uh-huh. So you're a senior, which means that you're going to graduate. Do you know what you're doing next year yet?
I don't know where I'm going next year, but wherever I'm going, I plan on studying robotics engineering. I hope to become a roboticist one day. I want to build robots to help people.
Wonderful. And what has been your favorite part of participating in the quiz show?
Ooh, probably the people. I've met a lot of people. There's been a lot of different people from like other schools, and you'll be sitting there and it's behind the scenes and you'll just be like seeing how other teams interact with each other, and you'll get to like give high fives and like crack little jokes. And it's like these little behind the scenes things that you don't necessarily see on TV, but they're just so much fun. And it's amazing to be a part of.
That's so fun, Chessie. It's so nice to hear. And well, we've got everybody, you know, the producer and the director and the host on. You have any tips for them? Anything that they could do even better than they are already doing?
I'm not sure.
Please do not tell this crowd they're perfect, Chessie.
Remember, we edit your show, Chessie, so careful.
Yeah, I don't think I should be angering them.
Well, anyway, Chessie.
They have my reputation on the line.
I'm so happy you were able to call in, and congratulations on 4 years. Before I say goodbye to you, Nick, how common is that to have the same student come back 4 years in a row?
I think she's the first one.
She might be the first one. There's one other, but we have had students that we've seen for multiple years.
And right, but not, I don't think 4 years in a row.
Yeah, she might be the first one. But that is awesome when you see the same students at least come back year after year. We even had one student that changed schools.
That's right.
And came and got his new school to be part of the quiz show family. So it is cool to see the students come back year after year. And yeah, it's really fun. And as Chessie talked about, some schools really get into this. Some schools have bought buzzer systems. We've heard of other schools that may not have even had a quiz club until this show came along. And it just gave, in some cases, another group of students a sport, let's say, that they might not have had before. So that's really cool what the show has done for a lot of the schools around the state. And
Chessie,
also, I do want to point out, we think we're the only quiz show that not only do we offer the $1,000 grand prize for their project graduation, the runner-up gets $500, but we also do a travel stipend for every appearance, because we know it's tough for some schools budget-wise. And so thanks to our sponsors, we're able to offer them a little something just to offset gas or, you know, fast food, or many schools they'll get their T-shirts printed. So we think we're the only quiz show that does that, as far as we know.
Oh, that's great. And I do love the matching T-shirts and fleeces and things like that. Chessie Lomonti from Wyndham, thank you so much for calling in. Good luck with your college decisions and good
thank
luck
you.
In life. It's really wonderful to hear from you. Todd, I was smiling as Chessie said they try to get kids with a variety of backgrounds. Because one thing I noticed last night, and believe me, I can relate to this, is that often the stumpers were the sports questions. This is a completely different crowd than we're seeing for maybe basketball. And I was just laughing out loud because I don't know some of the sports answers either. This is a group of kids who they knew their musical instruments, though.
Well, that's the beautiful part about this show, is that, you know, there are all walks of life, all kinds of interests. These kids do all kinds of different hobbies. Not everyone, you know, plays baseball in the spring and soccer in the fall. Some kids like robots. Some kids love playing music, and some kids love singing, and some kids, you know, this show celebrates those type of kids. Those kids that, you know, aren't striving to, you know, be the best athlete, because nobody can be the best athlete. There's only a handful, you know, there's a couple of them. And I love that this show provides an opportunity and an outlet for children that have interests that aren't considered mainstream, if you will. And all of these kids are just so brilliant and have so much to share. And they do so on the show. It's a really beautiful thing to see. And Jesse was right. And this is what I love about this show, too. You know, these are teams, right? And they do want to win, okay? So there is competition here, just like there is on a field or on a court. But they do, even after someone loses or if someone gets the wrong answer, whether they're on one side of on one team or on the other team, they're very supporting of each other. And she's right. They do befriend each other. And there's a lot of camaraderie even between the teams. After the show, they're all congregating and talking about, you know, this question and that one. And I can't believe you got that answer, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just super, super cool. I'm honored and lucky to be a part of it. I'm very grateful that the show reached out to me a handful of years ago and gave me the opportunity to be the host.
I'm going to go to an email here, and this is probably for you, Nick Woodward. Two different people emailed in, Marcy and Dennis. They want to know, where's Maine Public's institutional memory? The station ran So you think you know Maine for years. Sorry about the stumble. It was the clear precursor. And of course, you know that, Nick Woodward.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're thinking on Maine on for over 10 years, several different hosts. We have only a few survive, and we have those up on our YouTube channel right now. So, we've never said this is the first game show on Maine Public. This is actually the third, I believe. There was another game show on back in the day. But, yeah, so you're thinking of Maine. And, who knows? Who knows? Maybe that could come back someday.
So, Nick, you did mention that most of the questions come from GBH, who is a big production team behind this. But you do try to make it a little Maine specific. How do you do that?
Well, there are video and picture questions within, and another producer here, Brian Bouchard, often writes those, and those will quite often have a main, be a Maine-based question. And those are often the questions this year asked by Aislinn Sarnacki, host of Borealis. Also, they'll be asked by the congressional delegation, Governor Mills. But we have a section in the show called the Viewer Question of the Week. And the past couple of years, that's become a contest where you can win a prize at the end of the season. This season is no different, but you've got to tune in to see how the contest works. But yeah, I'll write very tricksy Maine trivia questions for those. Some years they've been conundrums. Other years you got to take all your answers and do something special with the answers. This year is no different. And if you tuned in last night and saw the first two episodes, you might notice that the answers are all number-based. So you might want to keep track of those.
They're hard. Hey, they Nick are. Godfrey, I have a question for you. You mentioned that the shows are taped ahead of time. Is everyone sworn to secrecy? Is there a blood oath?
Yeah, so we have some people in the studio, our coordinators, our team coordinators, that will also swear everyone. Because in the world of technology, you know, pictures, recording, you know, people want to share things with social media. So we always, let people know that once we start the episodes, they can share those photos. But please, as the episodes progress, they need to keep that quiet, because you can definitely, even just sharing a picture of the teams at the team desk can show who might have won in their first match. So we definitely try to use the scout honor and let everyone know, like, hey, can we hold off? And to this, so far, 8 seasons later, everyone honors that. They're happy to be a part of it. And then once their episode airs, it goes social media palooza on their end, which is great.
Oh, that's so fun. Todd Tom on Facebook, I'm guessing this is someone you know, writes, Todd has a personality. He should bring it in when he does the weather. Just kidding. Todd is very likable and is the perfect host for the show. And I'm wondering, generally speaking, what kind of feedback you've gotten in the last few years, Todd?
That's kind of funny. It's all been very positive. It really has, because this does give me an opportunity to show a different side of me than you know, being on television. Television, while I had, you know, and you can speak to this too, Jen, you were in TV for a very long time, and, you know, you still are in media, and, you know, your comfort level with TV grows the longer you're in it. And at first, you know, you're very formal and you're rigid. But over the years, you know, you start softening and you start revealing a little bit more about yourself, but you still always have, and at least in my, from my perspective, I still always have this filter, a television filter. It's kind of hard to explain, but there's just some sort of formal nature to TV that, you know, you don't want to cross this line. And Quiz Show, while it is still television and, it, you know, that's how it's disseminated, I can cross that line a little bit with Quiz Show. It's a little more laid back. We're encouraged to have a little fun and have moments with the kids, you know, to be a little more revealing about me, my personal life, my family. I don't know that my family always likes me being a little more revealing about us, but it happens. It happens.
Yeah, there are times where Nick Garpering, I have wondered, should we keep that part in? Would Todd's wife be cool with what he just said about his socks or something? So,
well, yeah. Todd, I think you really articulately expressed something that I hadn't thought about it that way, but it's true. There's a bit of caution, you know, especially because there's people out there who are mean-spirited and might attack you. But, hey, I want to ask you, speaking of your family, you have teenagers. Anybody who's had teenagers know that sometimes they can be a little critical of their own parents. And I'm wondering what your kids' reaction to you hosting is.
Oh, my gosh, Jen. Well, first of all, Todd's wife is a saint. My wife, Rachel, we've been married for over 20 years now. We met basically when, you know, I was a freshman in college and she was a senior in high school. So we've been together for a very long time. We're from the same town in Connecticut, West Hartford. So I'm hugely lucky as a human being to have her in my life for this long and to be married to her, because she puts up with a lot of my junk, let me tell you. My children, I have twin 15-year-olds, boy girl, Lila and Brody. And, you know, they're the greatest thing that ever, as anyone who has children probably say, you know, we're on this planet, in my opinion, to procreate and to experience, you know, being parents and raising children and the joy of it. There are so many ups and there are some downs, and it's challenging. And I will say that having 15-year-old twins, they're sophomores in high school, aside from when they were infants, when, you know, the first 6 months of their lives, when they were trying, because they were twins, they were, you know, underweight. And so they barely slept and they really challenged us. So aside from that period of time, this is the most challenging that I've experienced as a parent in the 15 years. It is so hard to, you know, they want to be adults. They think they know, you know, the world already. And, you know, you're still trying to guide them while relinquishing some of that power and giving them some freedom. And it's a balance and it's really tough. I'll be honest. I struggle with it. It's hard to relate on a daily basis, and especially with you know, a teenage daughter. You know, there's, you know, it's difficult, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And they get a kick out of me hosting High School Quiz Show Maine, and, you know, especially in the interview part of the show when, you know, I get a little personal with some of the kids up there. They are constantly, when we watch the show back together on Thursdays, they are busting on me left and right, Jen.
That's what I wanted to know, if you watched it and if you were brave enough to watch it together.
Oh, my gosh. We watch it together, and they just tear me apart. They tear me apart, but honestly, in a good way. The fact that we are interacting in any capacity, I'm okay with it, you know, as with 15-year-olds. because you don't get to see them as often as you did when they were younger, because they're now socializing and they're, you know, doing a million extracurricular activities. They're starting to drive now and things like that. So I'm just grateful to have those moments, and usually they're funny ones. They are.
That's wonderful. Well, we do need to take another quick break. What do you want to know about High School Quiz Show Maine? The phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, and you can also post on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're getting the inside scoop on High School Quiz Show Maine, Maine Public's academic competition, which kicked off its eighth season with the premiere show on Maine Public Television last night. So it's on Thursday nights at 8, and the state competition is May 29th. Some of the people involved with High School Quiz Show Maine are with me today. The show's host, Todd Guttner, and Maine Public's television production experts, Nick Woodward and Nick Godfrey. Share your comments and questions. If you're quick, you can get a brief email in, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Nick, I understand if you watched last night and you thought to yourself, oh, I knew a lot of those answers, I'm really good at this, that you maybe want to just keep watching?
Yeah, the question writers at GBH, they design, it's a question arc. So the first eight episodes are the preliminary rounds where we, you know, knock it down to go into the quarterfinals. The questions, well, they're still difficult, but they become more difficult as the rounds progress. So the quarterfinals will be harder than the preliminary rounds. Then they get harder in the semifinals, and then the finals are the hardest of all. So there is a rhyme or reason to the questions. There is thought that goes into them. Throughout the season. But also, as Delaney said earlier, we go through all the questions that are sent to us, and we take some out. We just think, they're not going to know this. So if the answer is a Marx Brothers or Bob Hope, those questions pretty much come out, because we have learned that, you know, when it comes to pop culture, there's almost an expiration date.
That's right. Yeah.
And also, there is editing that's done in the show, no editing that affects the outcome. But if there is a run in the toss-up round where they don't get anything right, we do edit those out because, number one, we don't want students to feel bad that they got a bunch of things wrong. But we also just want to, you know, keep the show moving. It is entertainment after all, and we want to make sure the show is entertaining, which also brings us to the fact the online versions are sometimes different. They're longer. So earlier we mentioned one of the interview questions last night was about the breakfast cereal. Well, if you go to that round went very long in taping. So if you go to the online version at mainepublic.org, you'll see the longer version of that where Todd gets really into it with the students, and it's a lot more. There's a lot more talk about cereal and toys in that one.
Todd, what would be your dream breakfast cereal?
Oh gosh, I don't even recall if I answered that in the show that we taped, because it was, you know, we talked about this earlier. We taped it back in the fall, so it was several months ago. My dream cereal, though, you know, I go through phases with cereal, and they really go from end to end. Like, sometimes I'm really into, like, Grape Nuts, okay? Like, and who says that? You know, like, I think my grandmother used to eat Grape Nuts. You know, that's how, like, long these things have been around for. And right now I'm on a Cinnamon Toast Crunch kick. You know, that's my late night snack when I'm up late, which is only 2 days a week.
Yeah, I was going to say, and late for you is any time after like 8 p.m., right?
Exactly.
I'm going to go to Ann, who's calling from South Portland. Hi, Ann, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that this show has made me smile. First of all, my mother-in-law, who's a fourth grade teacher, went on to the show.
We can barely hear you. Can you get a little closer to your phone or your?
Sure. My mother-in-law was a fourth grade teacher in Lewiston, and she went on So You Think You Know Maine, and she beat Speaker of the House John Martin. She won a case of chicken. And then last comment was back in 1977, my high school went on it, and I would love to know if those film still exists because one of my dear friends was on the show and passed away his first year of college.
Oh, wow. So this is 1977. Nick Woodward, does that tape still exist?
Only a few do. I definitely know the one with John Martin and the Case of Chickens does not. I would remember that. As for the other one, if Ann wants to give us send an email in, we'll poke around and see if that one might exist. But I'm afraid it might not. We're just not sure where a lot of those shows went. I'm afraid they went into a dumpster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what a great memory. And Nick, that is so funny. So first of all, it sounds like, so you think, you know, Maine was not teenagers. It was adults who competed, right?
It was everything. We have kids episodes, adult episodes, you name it. And it had Lou McNally, Tim Sample, Jeff Gable, just some of the hosts. There were, I think, six altogether.
And I don't know. Why don't you have a case of chickens as a prize for Maine High School Quiz Show, Maine?
Well, I think I don't know the case of chickens would last all the way to graduation day.
That's
like,
right.
like the giant check does that we have now. Yeah.
We have an email here from Mike talking about the list of schools with the highest average test scores. And he's wondering, he says the list is always the highest income areas of Maine. When you look back at the winners of the 16 contests every year, is there a similarity between achievement and socioeconomic status or not really?
Nick Garpy's our school class expert. He's looking at the list now to see what we think about.
You know, we've
that.
Had some years where we've had Fort Kent travel all the way down. We've had years where Portland, Deering, those teams. We've had, you know, Old Orchard Beach. I mean, I think, you know, throughout the 8 seasons, we've covered a lot of different areas of Maine. And I don't know if that really...
I think some of it might come down to the schools. It might be some of the bigger schools just have more ability to do something like this. When a school in northern or eastern Maine sees that we have to travel to Lewiston to be on the show, that might be an automatic turnoff to some of them. And we don't have a way around that. That's why we try to at least entice them with the travel stipend and encourage schools to come. So I think maybe that might be it. It just so happens that...
And I will point out that Nick having the travel stipend does help. I've heard a lot of, like, recently this year, I did a lot of communications with all the coaches, and they really appreciated that. That really helped. And there was a lot of teams that said, you know, without this, we might not have been able to get a bus or afford a bus. You know, our budgets are tight this year. So, you know, I think that does go a long ways for getting schools that might not have signed up if we didn't offer some kind of stipend.
Yeah, if there was a way for us to take the show around, we would. Right. But as for everybody, you know, budgets are tight everywhere. So we do what we can, and we'd love to make it expand more. Yeah,
but looking back at the list of teams that are selected and this list of teams that win, I haven't studied it like you all have, but it doesn't seem to me as though it correlates with this, you know, Falmouth, Cape Elizabeth, Cumberland, you know, John Babs. It's a lot of schools that are not as celebrated, but they actually are fantastic high schools and have fantastic kids. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But and also just the schools that take part, just because they don't win doesn't mean they're, you know, not super smart. It's just, you know, had a bad game. But
I mean, looking through the list, you know, we have teams, like you said, Bangor, Fort Kent, Falmouth, Edward Little in Auburn, Marinacook Community High School in Reedfield. Madonic Valley is on this year, too. It's mm-hmm. So, you know, we have St. Dominic, South Portland, the Watershed School. And so we're all over the state and in different regions of
right.
You know,
but again, any post-secondary school, a private school, right. Homeschool groups, we encourage them if they want to get together. We'd love to have better geographic diversity throughout the state, but we understand Maine's a very big state, and so right. It just might be beyond the schools to get to the Lewiston. Yeah.
Todd, I want to go back to you and ask you, have you noticed a pattern among teams that do really well? Are they ones that have maybe one student who's just a ringer, or are they the kids like the teams that, like Chessie was talking about, where all four kids have a different background and a different set of skills?
I think the teams that do have one ringer, they'll get very far in this tournament, in this game, but you still need some complimentary, you know, teammates that just kind of round you out a little bit more, because that one ringer, while they may be able to answer every math question in the first 5 seconds, like maybe they don't have, we were talking a little earlier about, you know, like, you know, movie knowledge or, you know, sports knowledge is a big one. Like those teams that have a little bit of that tend to go very far and have a chance at the championship round, because they just have a little bit more than just that one ringer.
Nick Godfrey.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, just to add on what Todd was saying, I think throughout the years that has morphed. We did have a lot of teams in the early days with that ringer. And I think a lot of schools have learned about that. They're rebuilding their teams. And there's a lot more teams now that, like you said, we always joked about the sports now, but they are bringing someone who might be more pop culture or sports minded that could complement the whole thing. And I think the teams that are stronger now are the ones that are less of the ringer type, that have more of an even keel.
And also a couple of the rounds are specifically created to make sure everyone gets to take part. We allow conferring in the category round, but also the head-to-head round. The purpose of that round is to ensure that every player on the team gets their chance in the spotlight, because every player has to play that. So, yeah.
We'll go to Charles calling from Lewiston. Hi, Charles. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you for having me. I'm 72 years old, and I can remember watching this back in about 1971. And I was wondering if you remember who the host was. He was kind of a burly type guy, crew cut, and I didn't know if you might remember what his name was, Astor or something like that.
Well, Nick Woodward. Well, there's
been a lot of quiz shows have been on, you know, over the years. So You're Thinking of Maine started in 1976. The WCBB Channel 10 had some that were earlier than that. I don't know who the hosts were of those shows, but So You're Thinking of Maine, again, Lou McNally, Jeff Gable, Tim Sample, several other great people hosted that. So I'm not sure who that would have been.
Well, Charles, thanks for watching. We are so short on time. I want to ask you, Todd, how you prepare, what kind of mindset you get yourself into before you have one of these days where you're filming one or two quiz shows.
Well, so the show is taped in Lewiston at the Lewiston Studios, and I live down in the Portland area. So, you know, I've got a 45-minute drive each time we do some tapings. Each time we tape a show, I drive up to Lewiston. And while I'm in the car, I'm listening to, like, whatever album is was, like, in my playlist at that time. So, like, I can equate, like, different seasons to different albums. There was a Taylor Swift season 2 years ago when she released her album. So that whole season, every time I was in the car, I was listening to Taylor Swift. This last season, I was listening to Zach Bryan's new album. So that's I listen to music on the way up. And then when I get there, I'm kind of relaxed, and I sit down with Delaney and we go over every question, and there's always words in there that I don't know how to pronounce. She knows me so well that she already has it all hyphenated out, and, like, you know, she knows how I'm going to say it, so that I can, you know, not look and sound like an idiot. Okay. So she's the one that really, you know, keeps me together, to be honest.
I feel for you, because I know that even if you practice ahead of time, sometimes in the middle of something, it's hard to remember what you figured out ahead of time. So we have just about a minute left. I'm going to turn back to the Knicks and ask you, you got to have at least one or two funny stories to share in this last part of the show. Something you want to, that has been unspoken until this point.
Well, it just might be in the interview section over the years, usually in the semifinals, we'll throw a curveball at Todd and make him have to answer questions from the students. So I think one year we had the students.
Sign language.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we tricked Todd. We didn't tell him what was going on. And they had to sign their answer.
Or charade.
Charade. Sorry. Yeah, they do charades. To Todd, he had to guess it, and we're like, that was a pretty funny moment.
Yeah, because he actually did not know what was coming. We kept it secret from him. So it's really those types of things But Todd is awesome. I mean, that's the reason for the interview round, is really to have some personality come through. So it's not just questions and answers. And he's amazing at that. And
well, Todd, you're a good sport. And Nick, thank you so much for joining today. We've been speaking about High School Quiz Show Maine, which debuted last night. The rounds will get progressively harder through May 29th when there's the championship. Nick Woodward, Maine Public's Director of Media Production Services, Nick Godfrey, Maine Public's Television Production Coordinator, and Todd Guttner, host of High School Quiz Show Maine and Chief Meteorologist at News Center Maine. Today's sound engineer was Jessica Miller. Our theme song is composed by Mike Jandrow. Maine Calling was produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Public Radio.